that everything is working, and I'll just be monitoring it from time to time through the earphones just to see that that it's all right, and it looks like it is. So why don't we begin? Today is Wednesday, March 25th, 1992, and this is Jim Boning talking with Dr. William G. McMillan, Jr. in his office at in Los Angeles. Now, Dr. McMillan, I know you were born on the 19th of October, 1919, in Montebello, California, which I think is just a suburb of Los Angeles.
Right.
Could you tell me something about your parents and your family background?
Sure. My father emigrated from Nebraska to California with his family about 1890 or so. He was born in 1880. A large family. He had half a dozen brothers and two or three sisters. I knew, I guess, some of the brothers, but some of them had died already before I was born.
Why did they come to California?
I guess the climate, more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a period of no great prosperity, and the idea was to try to earn a better living. In any event, my father had done a number of different trades as a boy. He was he used to herd the cows for the local community. When he came out here, I guess when he was 17 or 18, he got a job as a roustabout in the old drilling techniques, drilling for oil, here in the Los Angeles Basin and also up in near Fresno. This was at a time when they had the old, what they called the standard rig, which was not rotary. It was just a tool line that was allowed to fall off the rock and break it, and then you had to pick it up. Then, I guess after a few years of that, he acquired the trade of a carpenter, and in a short while worked himself pretty high up in the construction business. He was superintendent of construction on some of the big downtown buildings, big in those days, the May Company and the Gates Hotel and a few of those. My mother came from Texas, also of a large family, and neither one of my parents had more than about 3 years of education. But my father made good use of that. He always surprised me with things he knew that I didn't know anything about. He had a book on spherical trigonometry, for example, which he had studied on his own hook, and he knew all kinds of simplified ways of calculating things quickly. Length of rafters and, you know, all the kinds of things that enter into the construction. Then, during World War I, there was a depression, and he and the family lived down in what is now the cool of the Harlem, down on the 52nd and South Park. And there was, with a growing family and all that, he thought it best to move out into the country, and got this small ranch out in Montebello, which was planted in a lemon grove. But the lemons didn't pay off except for the 1 year of the of the flu during World War One, and so it wasn't used much as a ranch, although we had stock and cattle and grew truck garden and that kind of thing fairly extensively, but not much commercialized, only for our own consumption. I was the youngest of seven children. There was the oldest child was my brother, and then there were five girls in between. Mm. So these were pretty hard times, I gather, although I had a wonderful childhood there in Montebello, you know, on a ranch, great freedom and animals to take care of. I mean, I took over the job of milking the cows when I was about 6 years old, that kind of thing. And it was a place where you could learn a lot about mechanics, repairing farm machinery, and all that kind of thing. So even though it was pretty tough times for my parents, I never was aware of that. Then there was a local school, a grade school about a mile away, where there was no busing or anything like that. Everybody walked. In fact, in those days, people were a lot more self-reliant. There wasn't any welfare, no nothing. And in fact, people would have rejected that, I think, simply because it was not the thing to do. I went to this grade school, Greenwood Grammar School, for 8 years. This was an 8-year, 7 years. I actually skipped one grade, but then transferred to what was then Montebello High School, and there really began to think about what kind of work I wanted to do. We had really pretty good faculty. We had some excellent teachers. There was one man who was particularly influential in my choice of career, by the name of Leon T. Brock, spelled B-R-O-O-C-K. Hmm. He was a chemist and an excellent teacher, just a wonderful guy. There was also a fellow who taught mathematics, in particular trigonometry and whatnot, by the name of George M. Schurr, S-C-H-U-R-R, after whom the new high school out there is named. He later became an administrator in Montebello. Montebello has its own unified school district, so they're pretty autonomous. My father was always very civic-minded and was a member of almost every board and commission. He was always tied up in the evening. He was a member of the water board and the planning commission and the school board and this and that over a period of 20 years. In fact, all the kids and the family received their diplomas at his hand when he was a member of the school board. So that was a pretty good start. He was, I still have his books from the 3 or 4 years that he went to grade school in Nebraska. Mm. And you'd be amazed, these are books, you know, that would be college level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In this present era, very good textbooks. So I had a good start from that point of view, and there was I don't know how it got generated, but by the time I came along in the family, there was a general tradition. You know, you did well in school. There just wasn't any question about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And all of the kids got good marks. And that helped, of course, in getting into UCLA.
What about your brother? Had he gone on to college?
Yes. He had gone on to UCLA also as a civil engineer, although he didn't finish. That was in the middle of the Depression years.
Right.
I was lucky in that I had a summer job all the time that paid enough to support me during the winter. That is, my family provided room and board, but all the fees and bus fares and all that kind of stuff, I was able to pay myself.
What kind of, you mentioned Mr. Brock as the high school chemistry teacher. What kind of chemistry experience did you have in high school? Was there a laboratory experience?
Yes, there was a laboratory course. It was not very elaborate, but the point was that Brock was an inspiring teacher, mm-hmm. and that made all the difference.
And do you credit Shure with your mathematics inclinations as well?
Mathematical inclinations, yes.
Mm-hmm. Had you given thought to going anywhere else besides UCLA? I suppose it was
I thought of trying to get into Caltech. My brother had passed the entrance exam there, but turned out couldn't manage the fees. So he spent a couple of years in what was called a polytechnic post high school course. But then he transferred to UCLA. I didn't apply to Caltech eventually.
I'm not clear what year you started there at UCLA. Was it 36 or 37?
36.
36.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Jack and I spent 5 years as undergraduates. This was a time when the bright undergraduates would be hired as teaching assistants. There was no graduate school at UCLA mm-hmm. chemistry at that time. That began in 1941. So it was a wonderful period because we had the regular professors teaching the undergraduate courses rather than graduate teaching assistants, because there weren't any. And any research that was being done involved the undergraduates, so that there was a lot of interaction between the brighter undergraduates and the mm-hmm. and the faculty, and kind of a golden age. But that rapidly got changed when the graduate school came in.
Were there a lot of chemistry majors?
There were, I would say, maybe 50 in each year, something like that. Of course, the place has grown enormously. The
right.
total population of UCLA in those days was about 8,000 or 9,000. Now it's around 30,000,
mm-hmm.
counting the graduate school.
What was your curriculum like? What did you start out with when you
in
chemistry
in college?
Yes, at UCLA.
Yep. Right. The chemistry part. There was a kind of general first year course, Chem 1A, that was taught by a senior professor in the department, who was William Conger Morgan.
Yes.
I've written all this stuff down in a for Bill Benjamin in his he threw a party for Jack Roberts, and I wrote about all the years there, and I can probably get you a copy of that if you like.
Oh, sure. That would be excellent. Yes.
Tells about these early days. There were only about a half dozen faculty members at the time, and the department was dominated by this guy who had been brought up in a Germanic school.
Mm-hmm.
Where, of course, Der Herr professor is the only professor in the department. So, besides, his chemistry was fairly ancient. So that was, well, it was interesting, you know, a lot of it was new to me, even though looking back, it was probably not a very modern course. Then the second part of that course was qualitative analysis, ions in solution, essentially, the kind of noise approach. And that was very good as far as establishing equilibria, ionic, various ionic processes and so on. And that was taught by Francis Blasé, who was a newcomer to the department, a very able guy. He was a photochemist. Then in the sophomore year, we began organic, in the sophomore year we had quantitative analysis, which was taught by Bill Kroll, a very rigorous course, and all of these had laboratories associated with them. And this involved not only the ordinary chemical type of quantitative, you know, precipitations and titrations and all that stuff, but also involved electrochemistry. Then in the junior year, we began organic chemistry, and again, Professor Morgan was the teacher there, and that was pretty much old hat stuff. That is not old hat to the students, but it mm-hmm. wasn't modern mm-hmm. chemistry. But at that time, there were two new faculty members added, Tom Jacobs and Ted Geisman, both youngsters, essentially, fresh from postdoctoral work. And so they brought quite a bit of new organic chemistry. Bill Young had been added earlier from, probably maybe even known Bill Young, he was from Caltech. And he taught a course in qualitative organic analysis. Very exciting course. G. Ross Robertson was one of the older original group of the department. He had written a very nice little book on organic laboratory operations, and just an excellent teacher, but he didn't do much in the way of research in those days. So it was altogether a pretty good gang. Then later on, Charles Coriel joined the faculty, and he was a young Turk in that was the only exposure I had as an undergraduate to anything closely resembling statistical, resembling quantum mechanics. So when I got to Columbia University, where I went as a graduate student, all of quantum mechanics and statistical mechanics is essentially new to me, and just opened up a new kind of field with what appealed to me, because it involved not only the chemical issues, but also the deal of mathematics, which mm-hmm. I was so interested in.
I wanted to just make a comment about Bill Young, because Jack Roberts said, and I'm quoting here, "Mac and I went over to Young's house on a Sunday to have him make more unknowns."
Yes, yes.
So you two must have been a very aggressive pair.
Oh, yeah, we had lots of fun. Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you, how would you describe UCLA's facilities at the time? They didn't have the graduate program, but with all the new people they were bringing in, it looks like they were aiming towards establishing that program.
Yes, and that was very much in mind. I think it was 1938 that these two new organickers came in, and the graduate school was established in 1941. So it was in the mill at that time. Also, Morgan, who had dominated the department up to that point, had had a stroke, so he was out of the picture by about 1939. And Bill Young became chairman. And Bill was, of course, a very aggressive and active guy, not only in the department, but in the American Chemical Society.
You didn't get your real exposure to, physical chemistry until very late.
We had a very good course in, courses actually, in physical chemistry at UCLA. In the lecture courses, these were given by Blaine Ramsey. Ramsey was an old line thermodynamicist, but he was an excellent teacher, I thought. Not everybody agreed with that, but he had a way of sort of suffering through each one of these derivations or problems, sort of ab initio. You know, he'd go through it with you, with the class, and you could see, he exposed his thought process as he was going along. And then his exams were frightful. I mean, one of our feminine colleagues was Gabriela Hamburger. She later became a crystallographer and married one of the eminent crystallographers. But I remember on one exam, which I guess might have been the first one in this course, the problems were just utterly impossible. And I think I got the highest grade, which was 15 out of 100. A miserable number. But in the laboratory, we had Jimmy McCullough, who was a fairly young guy, and Charles Coryell. And at that time, there wasn't sufficient equipment to do individual experiments, so we paired up, and I was paired with Jack Roberts. And we invented our own experiments, and we were turned loose, and that was a very good thing for us, in that they tolerated this kind of adventure. So we did a lot of unusual things there.
Well, you and Jack had a publication with Coryell.
Yes.
Which I think resulted from
that. That's right, exactly, yes.
That was on the dithionite ion,
thermodynamic properties of the dithionite ion, yeah.
So that came out of that kind
that
of...
That came out of that. In fact, in that publication, you'll find appears the first discussion that I know about of the solvated electron, which later became a...
I think I have it here, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
yeah, it's in a footnote, I think. That was
did you and Jack write this, or did Coryell?
Yes. Well, we wrote the first draft, which then Coryell enthusiastically edited.
Were there a number of things going on like this? I mean, were the faculty really publishing a number of papers with just undergraduates at that time?
Oh yes, yes. In fact, Bill Young had a number of undergraduates working with him. Both Jack and I worked with him later on. Saul Winstein had come through under Bill Young's tutelage as a master's candidate, and then went off to get his PhD and came back and joined the faculty. So there was a lot, there was a fair amount going on, actually. It was a good atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Good atmosphere, particularly for the undergraduates, because they got in, any research that got done was done by them in conjunction with the faculty.
Where along the line did you decide that physical chemistry or chemical physics, whatever it was going to be, was instead of organic? Because certainly there was a large exposure to organic.
Yes. Well, in doing research with Bill Young, there was a lot of reaction kinetics, which is one aspect of physical chemistry. Actually, I had gone to Columbia to work with Hammett, but Hammett was off on war work. This was in
41, was
1941, yeah, before the war, but while the war in Europe was already going on. So he was unavailable, and I guess I was really grateful for that, in the sense that, not that I would certainly have learned a great deal from him, and he's an eminent guy and a wonderful fellow that I later came to know. But at Columbia, there were two people, particularly George Kimball and Joe Mayer, who influenced me. And, you know, as I indicated earlier, this just opened up a whole new field that I didn't even have any awareness of, quantum mechanics and statistical mechanics. So that.
So at UCLA, you were still looking at sort of physical organic.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You got it. Right.
And that the idea to take the fifth year, did you and Robert agree together to do something like that?
Yes, more or less. What happened was that, these were still economically depressed times, and there were lots of courses. I wanted to have a dual major in chemistry and math, but it turned out I needed one more course in math and projective geometry or something, and I signed up for that. But then a job came along, an assistant's job, and I guess the economic pressures were too great. So another thing that entered was this course of Ramsey's was a senior course at that time, physical chemistry, and it had a reputation of being a killer. And the year before we took it, he had about 50 students, and he gave half of them F's and D's. Well, he was, you know, a terrible taskmaster. Not that they didn't deserve it, but, you know, he didn't quibble about things like that. He didn't care what the administration thought.
Yeah, these are seniors already, so that's...
Yes, right. So, anyway, I suppose partly in deference to that threat, we deferred taking the PChem and instead took some courses in physics. I remember we took